you can't say that doing what you want to be doing is time wasted.
Why do games like RuneScape even have clicking on rocks if that's not fun?
To me, the meaning of life is very simple.
At a given moment, you're always doing the thing you want to do the most.
Philosophers.
All right, David, what are we talking about today?
I have another topic. Ooh. 2 weeks in a row, I have come up with the topic.
Employee of the week.
Speaking of employees.
Oh, God.
Today's topic. tentatively titled The Joy of Labor. So this is not going to be an hour about why working is great.
Or why giving, like, why there is such a thing as the miracle of birth and all that. But
oh, no, not that kind of labor either. Good grief. No, a much less productive form of labor, arguably. So, background. Some context.
I'm sitting down.
So, Joe, you already know about this. So I recently watched a very long video essay about one of the video games of all time.
You did pass the time watching that video, that is true.
I did. About RuneScape, which we have actually talked about on this show before very briefly, but not in great detail. And I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it here.
When is the episode dedicated to RuneScape?
All right. The topic for this week is the philosophy of RuneScape.
Oh my God, stop. I'm bored. I don't want to do it.
Okay, we're not doing that. Okay, but okay. So for those in our audience who have never played RuneScape or, you know, have never even heard of it or whatever, RuneScape is a video game and it is well known for being very repetitive. The game is very open-ended. The goals are player-directed. You kind of choose what to do. If you want to achieve everything, you will have to sink thousands of hours into this game. Most of the activity boils down to, like, click on the thing and wait for it to happen. So, in today's culture of, you know, you need to be being productive and time not spent working is time wasted. People will feel disgust at the idea of such a game. And so the guy who made this video, and I will link this in the show notes. He goes on this kind of side tangent about why it's okay to waste time. And he says some things that I didn't appreciate in there. Ultimately, I agree with his conclusion about what it means to waste time, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But also, I don't like the way that he frames his thesis. So I kind of want to reframe it without what I think are the mistakes, and go through that. So the framework that he lays out when he says that, okay, this seems like a waste of time and people feel disgust about it, he essentially blames this on capitalism, and says that the capitalism provides the framework of you must labor or else you will die, right? You must work for a wage or else you will die. And so time spent not working for a wage is wasted time. And as a capitalist, I disagree. I don't think that that's the meaning of capitalism.
Not at all.
I think that is the very, like, naive view of people who...
people who are lazy and don't want to work.
There's that, but also people who... Okay, this guy does not seem like someone who is lazy and doesn't want to work. After all, he made a 3.5-hour video essay about a game no one cares about.
But what do you call it, work?
He made it for YouTube, so I don't know. Maybe it's work. Anyway, I don't think this guy is lazy and doesn't want to do work. But I think I agree with him that people in our culture do think that way. there are people who think that, like, okay, we'll go to the adage, time is money.
Yeah.
Right. And in a very real sense, it is. You can, at any given moment, you could be selling your time to get money.
Correct.
Therefore, time is money. Time is money doesn't mean time literally is money. It just means that your time can be exchanged for money. And so any time that you're not making money, you could be, though.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that it's like a core value of capitalism that you should always be trading your time for money.
No.
Because ultimately, then if you think that, then you're basically saying money is the most important thing in life, which is not really what capitalism is about.
No, but I think that is a very accurate way that a lot of people view capitalism, is that
right. Capitalism is the game, and the points are how big the number is in your bank account. And it's like, but no, like there definitely are some people who think that way.
Yeah. The
we call these people psychopaths.
Well, the system of capitalism allows for people to live that way.
Yes, it enables people to do that.
And,
yes.
And I think to give them where credit where it is due, it allows people who are psychopaths that can do that a means by which they can become very successful within their own metric, and in a metric that a lot of people would agree with, which is their number being higher. You almost have to accept the premise and say that that person is successful in order to say that capitalism is about that. But you also have to say that you said,
right, but I just fundamentally disagree with that premise, because right. Most people, like, okay, if you ask any given person on the street in a capitalist society or any society with money, do you want some money? They'll probably say yes, right?
Yeah.
If there's no further details, yes, I would like some money. But that doesn't mean they're willing to trade anything for money. And, you know, like if you ask people, okay, what would you rather do? Go to work and earn money, or spend time with your kids, if they have kids? I think most people would rather spend time with their kids, right?
Well, it depends.
It depends. The other people we call workaholics, which is another thing that capitalism enables.
Well, not only that, but this is the thing, though. Not even that. It's the marginal cost or the marginal gain. Like, what if you presented me with the option, would you rather work, you know, like, would you rather work like 80% of your waking hours spending 20% with your family? Or would you rather only be allowed to work 20% of your waking hours and have to spend 80% with your family? I genuinely would probably opt for, I would rather work 80% of my waking hours, because it enables me to do more with that 20% than I could have done otherwise, right?
Right. But what I mean, though, in this hypothetical is, like, all other things held equal, if we didn't think about the consequences of going to work or not going to work, what would you rather be doing on a moment-to-moment basis? Would you rather be working for money, like doing your job that you do right now to make money,
mm-hmm.
or would you rather be doing anything else?
Well, when you say all things being equal, do you mean, I don't know, like, because to answer your question, sometimes I'd rather be working. I do genuinely find joy in working.
I think, yes, and yeah, not everyone hates their job, right? But the point is, most people want money so that they can do stuff that is not work.
Correct.
They put in the work so that they can do something else later. The reason we want money is not for having money's sake. It's so that we can spend that money on the things we actually want.
Correct. Yeah.
Money
unspent is useless.
Right. It is a number in a computer somewhere, or paper with number written on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's has no function, unless you are just the type of person who wants to see number go up. That is not intrinsically valuable to you.
Right.
It is an instrumental goal to your actual goals that you want to achieve.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the next section then. What even is a waste of time?
That is truly the question, I think. And it is one of those things.
I have an answer, actually.
You have an answer. Okay. Well, I have also looked up an answer that's the opposite of the question. So I'll let you give your answer first, and then I'll go with, because there's another, I actually read through this joy of labor concept, but I'll let you go through with yours first.
So what is a waste of time? So money, as we said, is just a metric. So I've already said about, that we have terminal goals that we actually want, and money is an instrument to those goals. So time wasted, you can't say that doing what you want to be doing is time wasted. I think the only time where you can say that you're actually wasting your time is if you're spending time doing something that is not productive to your actual goals. Or counterproductive to your actual goals. And usually that will come in the form of like conflicting motives. So, you know, if you're living at home with your parents and you have a goal of moving out and having a place of your own, and instead of getting a job and getting the money that you need to actually do that, you stay at home and do drugs all day, you're wasting your time because you're being counterproductive to your own goal of moving out.
Well, that goal, and I think this is, how about this is an even simpler example, because I think the nuance is that we are often chasing multiple goals at once, and this is going to be captured by what I'd like to talk about with this as well.
Okay.
But say, for example, you say, you offer me an option to say, hey, come over to my house. I've got something really cool to show you. Now, I know you, and I know that may not be actually true, but I'm going to take the risk. But if I go and I see something that's not very cool,
like RuneScape,
I wasted my time. But yet didn't know I wasted my time till afterwards, but I knew it was a possibility, mm-hmm. right? I think the truest waste of time is sitting idly, accomplishing nothing. Like, that's the truest example of a waste of time. And the only way that that in its of itself is not a waste of time is if that was the explicit given goal. So it's related to what you were saying. But the yeah, only
that's thing, sometimes I do like to just sit around and do nothing.
Yes, but you're deriving joy or
exactly. So or, it's not a waste of time to me because that's what I want to be doing right now.
Or you're minimizing suffering. Like that's the other thing too. Like sometimes, and I think you see this a lot with grief. Like a lot of people when they are in grief will reach a point where they do just want to be idle for a while. And what you're really doing there is like absorbing and acclimating to a new environment, the one over which you're grieving. And people who busy themselves to deal with grief aren't, they're just delaying the suffering that they may have to go through from that time. I feel like a lot, you know, whereas a lot of the times when you're dealing with grief, it actually is probably good sometimes to just sit down and be alone for a while, as much as you can tolerate it. But it's like jumping into a cold pool, you know. You'd rather do anything than jump in the cold pool, but you are going to have to get in the pool at some point. And so people will like be busying themselves, but every once in a while they'll stop for a minute and dip their toe in and go, nope, I can't stand it yet. And then they'll go do some more. And then finally they will work up the courage to just plunge in, and then they're okay. You know, cause that's the fear I think we have, is that we're not going to be okay and we're not going to be able to handle it psychologically. But that's like one of the only other reasons I can think of why you would just choose to be idle and that truly be a waste of your time, just as an example. But any other waste of time, you know, maybe something that you accidentally earn on yourself by how you choose to spend it, and you won't know, but that's a risk. And that's like with anything, you know, and that's going too far down that road leads to the whole FOMO deal where people fear missing out. FOMO, yes. Fear of missing out. And so they will end up wasting their time trying not to waste their time, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I was looking at, because you originally were talking about, you said the phrase, the working title is the joy of labor. So I looked it up. That is actually a term that was used by Mises when he was talking about work. And I think a lot of the things he's written about this are very similar to what you're kind of talking about, I think. To give a short excerpt, the joy of labor consists of pleasurable feelings that come from labor. However, this pleasure is not enough to render the work as satisfactory as leisure, for then it would cease to be work and become leisure. So he goes through and kind of is doing the same thing. He's creating a taxonomy of like categorizing time spent and effort spent. Work being anytime you're expending effort, mm-hmm. and then labor being something that you're doing that you can derive joy from, but not as much joy as you would derive from leisurely activities. And to follow this up, the worker might, in that case, even pay his employer for the privilege of working. A person would not engage in labor unless it offered immediate, immediate gratification, e.g. through what a paycheck can buy, in addition to the joy of labor. Sometimes a superficial observer may believe that labor performed by other people gives rise to immediate gratification because he himself would like to engage in that kind of play, which apparently imitates the kind of labor of the labor concerned. So like it's an interesting way that he's viewing this here, and it's a little bit different, but I think that's kind of leaning more back to what I was talking about, where like, no, there actually are some times where I receive immediate joy from working. Like I appreciate being busy and being feeling productive, but there is also a deferred form of joy in the form of a paycheck that also kind of feeds that moment that, in certain situations, you know, like if I was given the option, I could work on whatever I want, you know, I would receive more immediate joy doing that, but lose out on the immediate joy of being paid. Whereas if I hate doing what I do, I at least have the immediate joy of being paid later.
Right.
You know, and then beyond above that in the scale, it's almost like,
well, and of course, doing what you want doesn't directly yield all the other things that you want.
True. Yeah, it's complicated.
If you work on your own personal project that you would rather be working on but didn't get a paycheck, there would be other things that you want out of life that you couldn't get from the rewards of that, probably.
Right. It all comes down to balancing priorities now and later.
That's the thing, is that, yes, there is... And back to my example of would you rather spend time with your family or be working, the answer is that a balanced life needs both,
right?
You don't want to spend all of your time working because you can't take the money with you when you die, right? We're all going to die. But also, if you elect not to work at all and have no money and spend all your time with your family, then you will have a miserable life with your family.
Yeah.
You need both. And so to say that one of these two is a waste of time misses the point of why we're all doing this in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like, I think if we wanted to, we don't have to go down this road, but like, this is the rule of marginal utility, or the law of marginal utility that Mises talks about a lot, applies in both cases, right? And that's why it's interesting, you know, and to specify what this is, marginal utility states that people use their means for the most important ends as determined by them. They may have to give up a unit of their stock. They will continue to satisfy the more important ends. The satisfaction provided by the marginal unit is called the marginal utility. And in a nutshell, the marginal utility is its value at the given moment. So making your first dollar is more important than making your millionth dollar at the given moment. You know, the satisfaction of this law comes down to things like diamonds versus water. Which is more valuable? Well, on looking at the market, it's diamonds. They go for more by weight. But if you're dehydrated in the desert, you would choose the water over the diamonds because at that moment, satisfies your needs.
Subjective. Mm-hmm. To the person and their circumstances.
And that applies to both leisure and labor. And I would argue that it even applies to, I think it applies to most things. And understanding that, I think, is how you can understand why, in the concept of what this guy was talking about, this is wasting time. Well, maybe not.
If you derive joy from clicking on rocks, who is to say that it's a waste?
Exactly. The marginal utility to one person is going to be different than the marginal utility to someone else. And it plays out. Like, I watch video game reviews all the time where people will talk about, yeah, this is a grindy part of the game. Well, and by that, they mean there's a lot of repetitive tasks that need to be completed in order to get to the thing that you're really wanting to get. Well, why do we even do that? Like, I think maybe that's the other question. Why do games like RuneScape even have clicking on rocks if that's not fun? Why is it in there? Why do games make you grind at all? It's all code. They could just give you everything that you want
right
at the beginning.
But there is a sense of accomplishment from having done it.
Exactly. Earning it feels better than just being handed it, you know. And for gameplay reasons also, if everyone had everything, this to me, one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to games is the min-maxing meta mentality where assuming everyone has all access to all things, you would be stupid otherwise if you did not choose the following settings.
You need to take on this cookie cutter strategy that everyone else is doing, because that is just mathematically the best thing to do. If you deviate from this in any way, you are worse off. Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that, because that takes... There is no reward because I didn't earn it. I just looked up a build, you know?
We have the time.
Yeah, we do.
That's actually something that this guy goes into in the video, and he uses a fun word for this, and kind of comes back to its original mathematical meaning. The word is degenerate. But in a mathematical sense, degenerate means like things that are ostensibly different but are more or less the same, right? Like different names for essentially the same thing. And one example of this is like a degenerate strategy. So if you have the exact example that he uses in the video, if you have a fighting game like Street Fighter or something like that,
okay,
in which you're supposed to learn elaborate button combinations to best your opponent, right? And use all the different moves available to you to avoid your opponent's attacks and defeat them. But you can easily win by just mashing a single button. That is a degenerate strategy. It unintentionally circumvents the complexity of the game.
Right.
And so if your game has a cookie cutter strategy that works like that, then it is degenerate in that way. That it doesn't matter how much other complexity your game has, if it can be reduced to one strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think the most simple form of this is rock, paper, scissors. That is a concept that is shared amongst most games, and they play the same balance game. If it was only rock, scissors,
rock,
why would anyone ever play scissors? But because there is a balance in strategies, like they are each, well, statistically, they're not actually viable, but on paper, at least, the viability of those three options are equal. Until they collapse into a finite state of we both throw our hands and see which one wins, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's the goal of any true game, is to balance that quantum state of possibilities to where there is no... The more balanced a game is, the...
There is no clear winning strategy.
Correct. But the struggle is, just like with rock, paper, scissors, there's no strategy at all to rock, paper, scissors, because if every option was equally viable and due to just chance...
Right. My strategy for rock, paper, scissors is to throw a rock every time.
Right.
Because I have equal chances of winning.
Right.
And also because people are more likely to throw scissors, but that's a metagame thing, but...
Yeah. At some point, you just get to gambling, where... Odds are just odds.
Yeah, you're just gambling on what your opponent will throw.
And it's not even really a game at that point, arguably.
Of course, the problem with the strategy of throw a rock every time is if you play against the same opponent over and over again, they're going to catch on and throw paper.
Sure. So any good game has to balance the viability of multiple strategies, but also allow for your individual effort to tip the... You should be able to pick a strategy and then modify... from that strategy some way that might give you a better chance. And that's that expended effort is the joy of the game, is because it's not because throwing rock is 33.3 repeating percent likely to win. That's not why I won. I won because I did whatever. And the problem is that, especially with the internet, like I actually hate looking at game content on the internet before a game comes out, or if it's a game I'm interested in. I will only watch game reviews of games I'm either very familiar with or I've already played or I have zero intention of playing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a massive network of people out there who spend all day playing this game. There are people who know life games more than I do, that they will come up with the strategy, or even worse, there are spreadsheet type people that is their joy. It's not actually playing the game.
It's strategizing. And mm-hmm. Well, this also comes in the form of like, this is another thing that is raised in the RuneScape video, speedrun routing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've played this game enough times, I am bored by the actual game itself. I'm going to turn it into a new game of how fast can I do it with these constraints. And then I have to decide, okay, what is the fastest path for me through the game?
Right.
What strategies do I employ? Yeah. And people get a lot of joy out of not even playing the game, but just... thinking about what the fastest theoretical way to beat it is.
It wouldn't even have to be RuneScape at that point. And I think that's why
RuneScape is a terrible game for speedrunning, but yeah.
But you get my point. Yeah. I think most speedrunners, and you can tell me this, I don't actually know, but my sense was that most speedrunners actually, it's about the speedrun, not the game they're speedrunning a lot of the time.
Right, the game is just a set of rules that they have to follow.
Yeah,
and it is given this set of rules, make this condition true as fast as possible,
or with some other absurd restriction placed upon you.
Or yeah, you can have your own other arbitrary constraints put on it. Like, but essentially, yes, yeah, make this condition true while obeying these rules.
Yeah,
as fast as possible. That's a speed run.
Those of us who actually like to play the game hate people like that, and hate people that are min-maxing strategists who the point is not to be good at the game anymore. The point is to develop the best strategy.
Well, it's like being good at the game at a meta level. It's not being good at the game as the developers intended for you to be good at it.
Well, you're not even good at the game. You're being good
I'm good at the system running of the game. Well, right. Well, yeah, good at speed running, but I mean, but what is the game anyway, right?
It's just a set of rules at that point.
Exactly. Like the whole, yeah, maybe the reason you play the game is because the game has a story that you think is engaging or whatever like that. But after you've played that and you know the story, maybe you don't care about that anymore, but you still like the mechanics of the game, so you wanted to see.
Yeah,
want to test your raw skill, but then you start getting out into the esoteric land of, okay, now I'm going to allow myself to perform glitches,
right?
I'm going to break the rules that the developer set for me because this is technically part of the game.
Yeah, and that's something I think that's unique to video games in that way. Most people will most people when they're playing a game and they see an exploit will intentionally not engage the exploit because they consider it to be unfair, and they want
and they cheat themselves out of the experience of doing it the right way, which is the actual topic. Returning back to the topic of, we're doing this because we actually derive joy from doing it, even if you think it's a waste of time. The reason we're doing this is because we find joy in the experience.
Maybe I like clicking rocks.
Maybe I do like clicking rocks. Yeah,
because maybe I like to pretend that I am a miner picking rocks and I'm finding gold and making it big someday or whatever. Or I'm just...
maybe.
Or I'm an industrialist.
Or I like to see number go up. Just mm-hmm. different number than my bank account. Yeah. You know. Well, yeah. And the thing with RuneScape is that you can easily click rocks while you're doing something else.
Sure.
That's the thing, right?
Oh, yeah. When I played EVE Online, I loved playing a space trucker in EVE. Not because it is the most rewarding facet of the game, but because I could have it pulled up on a side monitor while working and be like, and just look over and know that, like, yeah, I'm trucking. You know, like,
right.
It just felt good to know that we're trucking. Sorry. But anyway. But what's... one last thing I'll say about it. What's funny is that the law of marginal utility, I think, also applies here. People who get... you can only space truck before so long before it either becomes a novelty, which in some cases means you will keep doing it now for the novelty value as well. And novelty tends to, I feel like, have a very high function of marginal utility, where it literally is valuable because it just, the memories. But continuing to use it will yield more memories, reinforcing the novelty. Mm-hmm. But people who get really good at, like, you know, some game... like we'll pick a Souls game like that. Mm-hmm. People who get really good at this fighting story based game, boss fighting game, they get really good at the game, but once they've kind of topped out and have done everything that there is to do and they get really, really good at doing it all day, then the marginal utility starts to fall off of the return you're getting of having fun goes down. So but you don't want all these skills to go to waste. So you adopt the new challenge of speedrunning, which takes the skill, which you need the skills you already had in the game, interacting with the system, plus the skills of operating exploits with a new set of rules. So it's a way to rejuvenate, I feel like, the marginal utility by playing a different kind of game without having to start over. Because mm-hmm. you could just start over, pick a new game, right? And that's another weird thing that I feel like has just fundamentally changed a lot about games, especially video games. No one cared about replayability for the longest time. That was not something that games were rated on for a long time, I don't think. It wasn't considered. It's a game. It's like watching a movie. You play the game, you have fun, And well, you put it out for a while.
Well, there were like two distinct categories of game, right? Like you have, yeah, you have games that are started and have an ending, and once you do the ending, you win, and that's it. Or you have like arcade games, which is just about continually improving your skill and getting a high score.
Right. But in both cases, one is a pastime, and the other one is a little bit, I feel like, is more of a pastime. Like getting good at Pac-Man, it's fun, you know, but it's Pac-Man the whole time. You know what I mean? The joy is derived from getting better at the game. Whereas other games, like you said, it's about the joy of consumption. It doesn't really matter how good or not you are at the game. It's consumption. There may be a set of outcomes in the game and you just kind of want to see all different outcomes, but you can be terrible at the game and still get all outcomes. But then once you've explored all outcomes, it's like, okay, this was good. You know, I'm done. You know, it's like watching a movie.
You've experienced what there is to experience. Yeah.
Right. And just like how people will rewatch movies, sometimes you will go back to replay a game for the nostalgia or because you enjoyed it the first time and you've forgotten things or whatever.
Yeah, you might notice things that you missed the first time or whatever. Yeah.
Right. And the difference is it's a bit of a bigger commitment to go say, I'm going to go play Fallout 1 again. That's like a 30-something hour commitment as opposed to I'm just going to watch a movie that's going to take me, you know, 2 hours, you know.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, that aside.
So, wastes of time.
What is the moral calculus of time wasting? If I told you, yeah, I just wasted time today, and you ask me, oh, you mean you just did nothing just because you wanted to chill? And it's like, no, I actually wasted my entire day. Did I do something morally wrong or morally neutral or morally good?
Depends.
On what?
Well, okay, yeah, it depends. So, were you supposed to be doing something else for some reason?
According to who?
It would need to be according to someone else for this to be a moral issue. Because if it were according to you, what does it matter? You can't morally offend yourself.
Are you sure?
I don't think so.
I disagree.
Really? How do you morally offend yourself?
I feel like you can... Mental illness is one way. You can injure yourself where you genuinely did not intend... Like, in a rational sense, you would not do that. You derive zero joy. It's not what you intended to do. But you harm yourself. That's, I think, morally... A moral self-offense. And you would agree, and I think most people would agree... Both.
I think that is unhealthy, but not immoral.
Well, what's the point of... Okay, I'm
trying to me, morality is fundamentally a social concept.
Right, but...
And you can't be social with yourself.
Well, okay, when you say that, but, okay. I feel like, to me, I've always thought about it as morality is just whether something is good or is bad. Whereas ethics is how does that interaction play out. And the reason morals exist, it is social, you know, in the way that, like, we would like for all members of a society to avoid moral negatives and adopt moral positives, right? So, and then moral neutral things are like, well, it wouldn't matter if anyone in the society did or didn't do this. It's kind of really up to them, you know, and their reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like a moral offense would be you doing something that you didn't even want to do for yourself for zero gain or benefit. If everyone lived like that, it would be problematic. Like, it would actually be bad for people. And it would lead to a deterioration of that society, in my opinion. You know?
Sure.
So to me, I feel like wasting time potentially is something that could be morally negative. Mostly because it's irrational. I think wasting time
can be something that's morally negative, but only insofar as it affects other people. Like, if you're shirking responsibilities to waste time, I think that becomes a moral issue. Especially if these responsibilities are responsibilities that you agreed to with other people.
Yeah, but what if I determined that there are better things I would rather do that I would rather shirk my responsibilities for? Is that still morally negative?
It depends, but you already declared that you're wasting time. So we decided already that you don't have a better purpose for this.
Yeah, I get that. But like, but what if I choose to do something that's selfishly beneficial, but like causes like me not to meet obligations to others? That's still a moral negative, you'd say. Example, I tell my employer, yes, I promise you that I'm going to go to work today, and I swear upon it that I'm going to do my job for in exchange for the predetermined salary. Mm-hmm. But I find out on the day I'm supposed to do this work that I could just make more money doing something else which would benefit me more, and I do it. Is that morally good or bad?
You still accept the paycheck from your first boss?
They wouldn't pay me till afterwards.
So you haven't done the job and you're not going to get paid?
Correct.
Okay.
But I promised.
Yeah, you broke a promise. I think breaking promises is immoral, but to a lesser degree than actually taking somebody's money and not doing the job.
Right, but is it not morally better? Is it not better for me to do that which is better in my interest? Did I cause harm?
You may have. You may have caused harm because your first employer or would-be employer may have been depending on you for something that he has a responsibility for. And now you have left him without the job done when he needed it done.
Okay.
On your word.
Hmm.
Which will have other consequences for him now, which presumably are bad.
Maybe. I don't know how we got here from the original topic. I don't know. I'm trying not to make moral prescriptions or to say such that it's like, oh, anyone who behaves irrationally is bad. Because that's not, it doesn't matter sometimes. Like,
well, no. Okay. I guess this is ultimately where I wanted to go. Let's talk about the meaning of life.
Oh, God.
We have time for that, right?
Sure. We got 20 minutes. We can bust this out real quick.
Yeah.
42.
To me, the meaning of life is very simple. There isn't one. But there isn't an objective one. And okay. we assign our own meaning. And so if doing something is meaningful to you, then it's not a waste of time.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I agree. Life is given meaning subjectively.
Sure.
And so, and this, and see, now I want to go back to the moral thing, because it's like, well, I could say that, you know, killing babies gives my life meaning. And that's not wasting time, but it's morally dubious, you know?
Well, yeah, that's not to say that something that, just because something isn't a waste of time, that doesn't mean that it's not also bad for some other reason, I guess, but.
Yeah. But that being said, not taking an action be good or bad?
Like, can not taking an action be good or bad?
Right, because that's essentially what you're doing. I'm trying to equivalate wasting time to opting out of choosing to do anything in this case.
I mean, we've talked about this before many times when it comes to responsibility. Can you be held responsible for inaction?
No.
This is essentially the same question. Can we judge you morally for inaction? I think the answer is still no.
Yeah, I do tend to think the answer is still no. Now, I do think I can judge a person's character, though, if they voluntarily choose an action, depending on how they were using that time.
I mean, yeah, certainly I can judge someone's character for doing something. In the case of your breaking a promise thing, if someone makes a promise to me and then they just decide to go do something else instead, I'm going to judge their character for doing that. They're someone who lies.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get that. And see, this is why I think it's complicated, because in the next, it's all of these things are operating as matrices, right? Like, there's many things you could be doing. There's many things that you, but there's only one thing you can't be doing, you know, which is literally the thing you're not doing, which is nothing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, what is doing nothing other than doing something which is nothing, you know, mm-hmm. like, which sounds dumb to say out loud, but that kind of is how it is, you know. And it's like the same thing when people, like, I hate when people do this, so I'm trying not to be this way about it. But, like, it's like when people say, well, those who don't take a side have chosen a side. It's like, well, that makes me think you're the aggressor and tyrant, so I'm just going to choose whatever you don't want anyway. Because I hate people who say, like, oh, you choosing not to act in this case means that you, like, wanted the thing to happen, right?
Right.
Like, if I was walking by a burning building and someone looked at me and said, wow, you're not putting out the fire, you wanted the building to burn down. It's like, well, no, like,
no.
I just did my own calculus and decided that I didn't want to risk my life for it.
Exactly. Yeah, there's many reasons why I might choose not to try putting out a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Namely that I have no idea what I'm doing, right? And more likely to hurt myself and somebody else trying to put out a house fire.
Right. And so I do think I ultimately agree, but I do also feel like I wouldn't recommend it. Like, I would not recommend wasting time, as shocking as that sounds. But I guess when I say that, I mean that I would not recommend wasting your own time by your own standards.
Right.
Whereas this person, I feel like, has a moral prescription to... I have a list of things that are wastes of time, and if you do them, you're bad. Like, you're bad for wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
So we would both somewhat agree in the moral prescription that wasting time is bad, but we disagree
about what wasting time is.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, he talks about there's people who feel guilty for playing video games at all because there's just this meme that it's a waste of time.
Sure.
But that's just not true.
No. But don't get me wrong. It depends. It could be true. It's not an inherent property of playing games.
It becomes a waste of time when you're playing video games instead of something else that you actually should be doing instead.
According to you,
yeah.
Yeah. But I guess therein lies the argument is... And okay, so I'm going to pull one that my mother used on me a lot.
Mm. I know where this is going.
Yeah. More than once, she has said, hey, missed you at dinner on Friday. And I was like, well, I didn't want to go. I was like, sorry, I wanted to go.
I wanted to go, but I couldn't make it.
She's like, well,
if you wanted to be there, you would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do actually kind of agree with that sentiment to a degree. I think there's edge cases. Because I think you can want something, but you can want something else more. I don't think it's entirely dishonest to say, well, okay, now maybe you were being dishonest when you said you wish you could have been there.
I actually wasn't, but you know.
But, well, that's what she was accusing you of, though. She was accusing you of being dishonest.
Right.
Yeah, like, there's definitely, like, you know, if we're talking about work responsibilities, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I need to go to work and get money to facilitate my life, right? And if someone invites me to something that has a schedule conflict with my work and I'm unable to get the time off for it, it's like, well, I wish I could have been there, but I had to work. Like, I'm not being dishonest. Maybe I would rather have been there doing that thing.
Yeah.
But it was in direct conflict with something else that is very important to me.
Yeah, but I think that the thing that I wanted to highlight about this is, can you make the argument that at a given moment, you're always doing the thing you want to do the most? Even if it's because you have to, right? Like, in the example, I get T-boned on the way to dinner, mm-hmm. and I have to deal with that. I actually don't have to. I could just walk
away.
You
can just walk away, yeah.
Right, but the fact is I know how much heck that's going to cause me. So I would, in that moment, I do want to resolve the situation more than I want to go to dinner.
Right.
So it's true. Now, this is the conflation of the thing you want most versus just want. Right.
Right.
That's the problem with saying, like, well, if you really wanted this, you'd do this. It's like, but she's actually accusing me of is wanting to do something else more than this.
Right.
And what I'm saying to her is that, oh, that was the thing I wanted to do the most, but I did something else instead out of obligation. And so she's kind of communicating that what you really mean is that you didn't want to do that the most. There's something else you wanted to do more. And then she's calling into question whether or not my calculus should have arrived at the same answer mm-hmm. that hers did. Because if she was me, the calculus would not have been the same, right? But that doesn't lie the question. Can you even really waste... you can't say that waste... It's almost to say that you can't say that wasting time is doing something you don't want to do. Because arguably...
You never do what you don't
want to
do.
You always do what you want to do most. And that's uncomfortable, I think, for a lot of people to hear. Because there are people who deal with it. Like, there are a good example. There are people... who deal with a lot of things that in their mind they don't want to.
Addiction.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to do this drug. I don't want to be addicted to it.
But I also do.
But right now, again, marginal utility, the thing I want to do
I
most.
I fear the consequences of not doing this, right? The withdrawal symptoms or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And even if
so
it's
I'm
irrational.
Going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Want is irrational, almost.
Or yeah, if you have an irrational fear of something, mm-hmm. I want to do the thing, but I'm afraid.
Yeah. I want to apply for a new job, but I can't. No, you could.
You actually can.
Yeah. And
But you might have some kind of crippling social anxiety about doing that.
Right. You want to avoid the feeling of social anxiety more, or the things that you're fearing the consequences of. You know, the things that your social anxiety are telling you are the likely consequences. It's actually putting off kilter the risk benefit for you. Mm-hmm. And I get it too, because I think a lot of people will do like my mother did and will say, well, you just don't want it enough. Losing weight is a great one. Working out's a great one. Well, if you really wanted to be healthy,
you would work
out. Would. Yeah. Yeah. And people who are actually trying very hard to do them and failing at it feel as though it is unfair to be held to that standard. And to some degree, I understand it. There is a way to do this sympathetically and a way to do this as an a-hole, you know, but they're not wrong. And that's why it stings, I think, so much when someone says that, is because they're not wrong. You actually cannot argue with, I think, the universal fact that you are always going to do the thing you want to do.
Yeah,
most
on a
moment-to-moment
basis, mm-hmm. you're doing what you want all the time. Yeah.
Yep. And I think it would behoove a lot of people to just accept that paradigm and that just truth, because it helps understand, in my mind, I think it helps understand that it leads to the question of why you're not doing it. If you really wanted to do it so much, what is I think if most people were to look at their lives and what they actually do and assume this paradigm truth, right? Like you, dear listener, look at your day. What did you do today? And now put that in the context of that was everything you wanted to do today, whether you actually feel like you do or not.
Yeah, whether you're willing to admit it or not, that is what you wanted to do today.
You lived your day exactly the way you wanted to in the moment to moment, right, of the day. Maybe not
the way you planned at the beginning.
Right. And so if that's true, look at the things that you're wanting to do that you in the cool state after the fact don't want to have done, and acknowledge that, you know, I think that's a part of taking ownership over your habits and what you're doing in life. And realizing that it is your fault, you know, even though you may not have necessarily made all the decisions which led to you being in the state you were in, I think at this point we can all admit that you can't go back forever. You know, well, if the Big Bang didn't happen, you know, I wouldn't have taxes. Like, well, that's technically true.
Technically true.
But how useful is that to actually fixing the problem, you know? It sucks,
right.
You know.
So, to cap this off, I think the notion of wasting time in this way, especially judging people for how they spend their time, I guess is really what this is about.
Yeah.
Is a kind of a problem of culture, mm-hmm. and how we frame the thing. So a point that we have made multiple times on this show, that labor, and by this I mean labor that earns money or is conventionally productive, is just a requirement of life.
Mm-hmm.
Capitalism or no capitalism. So blaming it on that, saying that capitalism is the reason why we judge people for doing these things, I think that's not even fair.
No.
Because, yeah, you always have to work. Someone has to work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe under some other system you personally wouldn't have to work, but somebody has to work or else.
Everything's earned. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Yes. It is you against entropy to stay alive. So labor or die is just how the world works.
Arguably, that is life.
Right. That actually is life.
Life is the work.
life is the things you do to not die.
Yeah.
So, but acknowledging that money is not actually the most important thing,
yeah,
even under capitalism, passing judgment for how others decide to spend their free time is wrong, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you're free to have an opinion, I guess, on what other people are doing and maybe what you think they should be doing. But I think it is, okay, maybe not morally wrong in the sense that you're not entitled to an opinion, but
being of the opinion, I don't think is wrong, but it's a precursor to taking action to prevent it from happening. I think that's the
maybe
problem. Because you can socially try to convince somebody.
I was
going to
say, I think it's, again, unless it were at the point where, you know, here's a place that I kind of wanted to go. I think the difference between genuinely wasting your time versus doing something that someone else might judge you and say is wasting your time is like the subtle difference between like having a personality quirk and having an actual mental disorder. So the classic example that I like to go to when talking about this is OCD. So this is kind of an older meme.
Mm-hmm.
People don't invoke this one as much anymore, but there was a time in which it was a meme to call yourself OCD for having a quirk about something. You know, like being a little bit more concerned than average, maybe about how you organize things.
No, you're just anally retentive.
Right. Well, there's that, or, you know, or like obsessively correcting people's spelling and grammar or things like that. It's like that, but that's not OCD. That's just being a jerk.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, you know, it's a factor of your personality where like genuine OCD is like, okay, I need to leave my house and go do things, but I can't because I can't even get down the street without fearing that I've left my doors unlocked and I have to go back and check.
Right.
Or I am so germophobic that I wash my hands until they bleed. That's OCD.
Yeah. The difference between a personality trait and a disorder is, does it literally cause you, like,
does it interfere with your life?
Does it interfere with you living a normal life? Right. Exactly.
And that's the difference, I think, with wasting time. When it starts to interfere with the life that you are trying to live,
mm-hmm,
that's when it becomes a problem.
Right. And arguably, it's like, that's kind
so
of
I think
of the...
I think it's fine to give people advice on how to not waste their time in that sense, or encourage people to be more productive to their own goals. But when people choose to spend their time in a way that is not damaging to themselves, but, you know, just because you don't find joy in that thing, I think it is, at the very least, extremely rude to tell people that it's a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, as another aside, the modern of the OCD is narcissists, which is funnier because it's, mm-hmm, now you're laying it at the feet of someone else. The person was not selfish, and by selfish, sometimes I mean didn't give you the thing that you wanted. They actually have narcissistic personality disorder.
Mm.
They're mentally ill. They're not just mean, you know. That's like the modern one that I see a lot.
Okay.
Of as opposed to OCD. But instead of it being I have this as an excuse, it's you are so bad, you're actually broken. You need medical treatment,
mm-hmm,
for your personality disorder, like, is essentially what's being said there. Just kind of terrifying to think about. Oh, the state has determined you're lazy. You have lazy personality disorder.
Oh, dear.
We will send you to the psychology labor camp of love. We will help that. You know?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So, what did we learn today?
Mind your business.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can have your opinions. That's totally fine. But mind your business. I don't know. Like, work is in the eye of the laborer, you know? I think is a thing, too. People are just different. And more importantly, one of the biggest benefits of capitalism is that people of all of these different strategies and opinions are free to pursue whatever they see as labor, whatever they see as a waste of time, or avoid whatever they perceive as a waste of time.
As opposed to like economy planners telling you what's productive and what to do. Yeah.
Right. And just because, and I think it's just worth a last minute note. Yes, capitalism, that also includes number go uppers, right?
Yeah, number go uppers can choose to make their numbers go up.
But keep in mind what those numbers actually mean. Those numbers mean they did something that everyone else wanted them to do.
Or, well, at least somebody wanted them to.
Yeah, they did something that someone else wanted. But in the case of the
people... Yeah, you don't get money unless you do something for somebody else. Every dollar you have represents something you did for somebody else.
Right. And in particular, the people... Okay, who are the number go uppers? The billionaires. That the ones that the socialists always complain about.
Yes.
These are number go uppers at their core. But in order to be the biggest number go upper possible, you can't just make one person happy. You can't just give one person what they want. You need...
No, they got all that money by doing things for millions or billions of people.
Or they hijacked and took advantage of the dungeon master of this whole experiment, i.e. the government, and changed the rules.
Right.
To where their number just went up and they're breaking the spirit of the game. You know. And that, I think anyone can agree with, is a problem.
Yes.
Because all else being said, I think most people would love to
certainly
play...
Certainly, if the government is good for anything, it should not be there to enrich certain people at the expense of others.
Right. Well, or change the rules, you know.
Right.
Because that's the nice thing about capitalism, ultimately, is the rules are not informed by a single individual. If anything, the rules are just fundamental truths that are just observations. Like, most capitalists do not prescribe anything. They like if you read Mises, he's not telling what we should do as far as, like, how do we control the economy and things like that? How do we control
who gets what exchange? Resources?
It's literally the opposite. Don't.
Yeah. Yeah. The strategy is don't control it.
Yeah. Because
and people will figure themselves out, because that is how the people do.
That is how we have always been. Well, that's how we've gotten here, you know,
right,
in the first place. But at the end of the day, underlying, we got here to capitalism despite all the other things. Not because
of them.
Yes. Exactly. Philosophers.
If you like the music in this episode, please check out Jippy on Bandcamp at jippy.bandcamp.com.
Philosophers is supported by viewers like you.
If there's a topic you'd like us to discuss,
or a topic you'd like to see revisited in the future,
please let us know by contacting us using the methods in the description,
or in the comments below. Thank you for listening.